Time to recap McCook's City Council meeting number one for the month of April. In our studio, City Manager Nate Schneider. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing, Rich?
I'm good. I'm doing. And Councilman Jerry Calvin. I'm reading. They call me Grandpa because partner in crime makes me sound like a bad influence. Good shirt this morning, Jer.
Yeah, got that for my grandsons.
There you go.
Yeah.
How many grandkids do you have?
Just two.
Just two.
Two boys.
Uh-huh.
And they're just, the mother's curse really went into those two. They are running our daughter ragged. And I'm laughing about it.
Right.
Yeah, because they're only 6 and 4, so... You know, they get to be like 10 and 8.
Oh, my gosh. Look out.
Oh, yeah. Grandpa's going to have fun then.
You're going to get your exercise, huh?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Let's get to the agenda from last night. And Jer came in this morning. Nate's kind of a little lengthy meeting last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. You know, we had a lot of stuff on the agenda, a lot of good things, and then some housekeeping things as well, too. But... You know, sometimes it's kind of nice to have those two-hour meetings. It gives us a chance to kind of go through and talk about things in a little bit more detail. You know, a lot of times things get shortened just because it's on the consent agenda. It doesn't mean that those aren't important items. They just we try to make sure we've got reports that explain things, and usually they aren't requiring a whole lot of explanation. But last night we just had a lot of good discussions and a lot of presenters, and that's always nice to have people come and kind of talk about, you know, how they are assisting the project and where the projects are at that we're working on and those kinds of things. So it was good.
Announcements, recognitions in last night. Anything?
Well, we realized that the city attorney is getting older. It was his birthday yesterday, number 46. He was just whining about 46. That's still a kid.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, please.
Nathaniel's 46?
He's 46, yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's aged rather well.
He's on the downside of 50. That's what I told him. Everybody was trying to be nice to him, but I wasn't going to be nice to him.
They cut him off at the knees. No mercy.
Yeah, somebody's got to go ahead and be the bad guy. So
didn't realize that. Wow. Fooled me on that one.
Yeah. No, it was his birthday yesterday, and I didn't even ask. I'm sure he was scurrying to get back home to watch the basketball game.
Sure.
So I'm sure his wife and daughter had something prepared for him, some cake or something back home for the game. But,
anything else? Announcements, recognitions?
We have a planning commission meeting coming up next Monday, and that's going to be actually to hear the final plat of the Walter's first addition to the city of McCook. We actually will talk a little bit more about the preliminary plat that we went through last night. But next week at 5:15, a portion of that preliminary plat will be taken to the planning commission to begin the process of finalizing it. And then also... We are very happy to have Jody Crocker back. A little accident here this past October, I want to say it was. I'm trying to remember exactly when it was. I know it was fall. But she'd had an accident and had fallen off a ladder while at work. And she had talked about, you know, the experience. And she's really worked hard to get back and get back into the office. She was out for a good 2 to 2.5 months. And she's not the kind of person that likes to be out. I think it was probably just eating away at her. So she got back just prior to the turn of the calendar. And she hasn't been able to make it to any meetings because she's fairly limited as far as her ability to get around. But last night she was able to make it to the council meeting. And we actually had the full repertoire there last night. We had all of our department heads there. It's been a while since we've had everybody there. But it was just good to see Jody. And Jody wanted to express her thanks to everyone that has been rooting for her and pulling for her to get healthy. And it's still a little hard sometimes, I think, to get around. But she's doing much better than what she had been. And she's tough. She's not gonna stop or give up or any of that. So she's a very special person. We're very lucky to have her.
You mentioned tough. If anybody ever had her, like, for a swimming instructor back in the day,
oh,
when just knew she cracked the whip.
Yep.
And I meant that in a good way, Jody. I meant that in a good way.
Well, both her and her mom. Yeah. I remember.
Mrs. Backer.
Yep. That was my first job. I was a lifeguard up at the swimming pool, and Mrs. Backer, she taught me what it meant to work hard. I remember going in there and backwashing with her and all those good things. And you learned to appreciate the value of hard work when you worked with them. And just a great family, and very fortunate to have had them a part of the McCook team for decades, generations now. So,
anything else, announcements, recognitions, anything else? Which kind of a good segue talking about Jody, because it's this week's Library Week.
Yeah.
So, and she does a great job at the library.
She definitely.
Yeah, she was talking about everything they offer, which is amazing. She was chastising all of us to come in and get your library card renewed, because you can't get any of these services they provide unless you have a current library card. I got to check the date on mine. I'm not sure if mine's up to date or not, but I did not realize that she was talking about like audiobooks that you can download for free, for crying out loud. And I mean, hundreds and hundreds of titles. And she just updated us on everything that the library offers, and they have after school.
They have all sorts of programs. Move and Groove. That's the Move and Groove Club. They do that on Fridays.
30-some kids.
And Mandy Dame is the leader of that program, and Diane Lyons. And they are very, very active. They get those pre-K students up and going and moving around and appreciating reading and generating a love for books. And we're getting kind of into that busy time of the year. You know, before you know it, it's going to be the summer months, and the children programs are going to really kick into high gear. And it's always amazing to watch the library staff and Jody just really kind of zone in and focus on what they want to do as far as programming. I know that they're talking about right now, there were some things that they were working on. She had mentioned a Harry Potter project that they had worked on. And there's just a lot of different things that they do, trying to make sure that they make the library a magical place for the kids of Southwest Nebraska. And we're very, very lucky to have the dedicated people that work there. A lot of times they don't get a lot of accolades, but they work really hard, and they really do care about everyone in our community, and they want to provide a great service for the people here in Southwest Nebraska, and in particular McCook. So lucky to have them, and it's great to, like I said, it's great to have Jody back. It was weird when she was gone, because you just get used to having her around, and it was very noticeable. So great to have her and her staff over there. They do a great job. Tracy and Diane and Mandy and Courtney and Reggie. And I'm sure I'm probably missing someone. But just very, very lucky to have everyone over there that we do.
One of a couple of proclamations on the list. Another one, Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Yeah, Barb Ostrom and Katie Beek were there with some helpers.
And then Caitlin and Michelle. Yep.
They emphasized that. You know, it's an ugly truth in every community. Mm-hmm. And they handed out some pamphlets and information about what you can do, the whole awareness, and you can't be quiet about it. You must speak up. And we got some coloring pages and some crayons, and it was really cool. Yeah, I was told not to eat the crayons, so I don't know why they refer that to me, but...
They remember you from, like, past years when you were a kid or something like that?
Probably was. But it was nice having the ladies there and emphasizing the need to be ever vigilant.
And then next week is a Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, which you folks have some great folks who work in that area.
Yeah, we've got the best. We've fully staffed. We've got a team of 7 dispatchers, plus we have Jen Doucette as the 911 coordinator. And they do a fantastic job of dealing with situations that most people probably would not want to ever be put into. They are dealing with horrible situations that come into them, and they've got to remain calm and make sure that they get the right directions out to the people to assure that our public safety services are allocated the way that they need to be to wherever it is they need to go. And I've been back there, you know, during crazy times. I know when we were having issues with wildfires and stuff, I sat back there and I watched them work, and it really is amazing. And we've upgraded our equipment back there. I think that the people here in Southwest Nebraska, because we have a lot of interlocals with a lot of different entities and agencies, it's kind of rare for cities to provide dispatch services. Not that it's unheard of, but typically it's a county that does that. But on our end, we are here not just to help serve the people of the city of McCook, but to everybody that's in our vicinity. And so we take the job seriously. Our dispatchers are the best of the best. We have some people that have been there for quite some time. I'm always amazed when I hear them over the radio just how calm, cool, and collected their voices are. They don't get ruffled. They don't get riled. And it takes a special person to be able to do that. So hats off to our telecommunicators and definitely are appreciative of all the efforts they make.
Planning and zoning items. Had a couple of these as well on the agenda.
Oh, we'll let Nate handle this. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah, and this
and
is
huge.
Yeah, this is the Walter's first edition preliminary plat that we were talking about at the beginning of the show. And obviously we've been working on this for a little while. But this property that we are currently in the process of subdividing, it has about 128 acres of ground, which it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot for the city of McCook, because we've never really had anything quite like this that I can remember. But the hard part is trying to fit everything into that 128 acres, because we want to maximize the value of the tract of land that we purchased.
Yeah,
every square inch. And honestly, I mean, we've been very fortunate. Miller & Associates, Craig Bennett, he has done a fantastic job of trying to make sure that we milk every single use out of that ground that we possibly can. And what we're looking at doing is creating the sports complex in the center of the Walters tract, and that's going to be about 40 acres of ground. And then you're going to have commercial on the west side of the tract, so it's just going to be about a block off of Highway 83. Then you'll have commercial on the southwest side. Southeast side, you're going to have multifamily residential, so your apartment complexes. And we've talked about maybe a combination where you would have kind of similar to what you're seeing up in North Platte, where you've got commercial on the ground floor and then apartments above that, maybe a restaurant on the ground floor and apartments above that. We're just still kind of working through that process. And then also on the east side and the northeast side and the north side, that'd be single family residential. And you'd have about, and I can't remember the exact number of lots, it's like 30 to 40 lots. And we've tried to maximize the area as much as possible. We're trying to get a cul-de-sac, two cul-de-sacs actually along two ridge lines to add additional housing in that area. You'd have some really neat houses with walkout basements. I mean, the possibilities are really cool out there. But the first thing that you have to do is subdivide it, and you have to come up with a plan for infrastructure development. And so that's what we're doing right now. The first phase is the preliminary platting phase. So we are preliminarily platting everything out there. The whole 127 acres is getting used. And even the ground that's not going to be developed per se, we've got three outlots. Those are essential because we need to make sure that we've got proper drainage facilities for that stormwater runoff. The one thing that Craig had mentioned, and he's 100% correct, if you could pick a piece of property, just cherry pick a piece of property and say, we're going to develop this piece of property, this would be it. He's talked about projects that he's done in Kearney where it's completely flat. He's talked about projects that don't have enough space. He's talked about, you know, all these different problems that you can potentially run into with a tract of land that you're trying to develop. None of that is the case here. You've got a nice gentle slope that will run water to the northeast. There's a portion that would actually run water off to the northwest, and then you're going to be able to collect water on the southeast side as well, too. So we should be able to go ahead and collect all the storm water without creating any additional issues for anybody else in the vicinity. The other thing that we're going to do is we're going to run sewer from the North Point project. And one of the things we were talking about yesterday, the depth of this sewer, it's going to be 30 feet. We're going to keep it deep so that way we can actually get across the highway and service any tracts of land over on the west side that would blend in well with this project. So we are running it off the Kelly Creek trunk line. It's going to go on the south side of the sports complex initially. And then we can branch laterals off as we move forward. But we're going to get that sewer across the highway. We don't have sewer on West Q Street. We don't have sewer on the highway, but we're going to get sewer out there so we can start developing out to the highway and north. And that's always been a limitation that McCook has had. For whatever reason, sewer was never extended that direction. And so now we're going to take care of that. The other thing, water and street. We're going to go ahead and run street and water a little bit further than what we originally thought so we can capture all the commercial lots. What we want to do is subdivide out the commercial lots, make sure that you can reach all the commercial lots, sell those commercial lots, so then we can take that money and reinvest that. Obviously, we need to go ahead and make sure we pay ourselves back for the purchase of the ground. We also have to make sure the EDC gets paid off for their $250,000 loan that they made to us. But then we're going to go ahead and take the dollars that we make off of the sale of the lots, and we're going to put it towards additional phases out of that project. So there's going to be 2 to 3 phases out there, and we're going to go ahead and get the baseball, softball, soccer field, some of those kinds of things, a parking lot. Those will be the first phase, but then we're going to start talking about what else we can do out there. But the key is being able to reach all of the commercial lots and the multifamily lots, because there are developers that are ready to go and start putting things in. We just need to have everything accessible. So one of the things that we've done in the past that has kind of limited us is we just say, okay, we're just going to do just enough to make sure that we get to where we, you know, where we need to go, and we're just going to stop there. Well, we need to make sure that we build this out enough so that way we can do additional phases to the project as we move forward. So Craig had a nice PowerPoint last night. He went through the PowerPoint with the council. I think there was maybe a question from the audience as far as the donut hole. I call it a donut hole. There's a piece of property that wouldn't be annexed in with this project, but that would require an involuntary annexation, and that's really complicated and difficult. We were able to go ahead and just voluntarily annex this property just because we owned it, and so we did that here this past October. So that's just going to be another piece that we'll look at as we move forward. But one little bite at a time. Actually, we're drinking from a fire hose, but we'll continue to kind of work through this process. And the first step was getting that preliminary plat approved, and then we're going to bring the final plat to the Planning Commission next Monday, and then it'll come back to the council for finalization then on April 21st.
All right. So hey, within a 3-week span, lot's going to get done, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
All right. Jer, anything?
No. Like Nate said, this project is like drinking from a fire hose, and some of this platting and things like that, it helps with grant applications. And Nate and his staff have done a phenomenal job of applying for every grant from here to the North Pole. They just keep putting grants in, and we score a few. We've done very well with that. Not as many as we'd like, but hey, I'm kind of greedy. But they're really working very hard to make all this come together just seamlessly, which, as Craig Bennett said last night, and Dave was there from Miller & Associates, that this is a dream project. This comes along literally once in a lifetime, and they're really excited to be part of it. I know Nate and the staff are juggling 6 bowling balls simultaneously on this, but it's working. It's working.
Consent agenda, anything pulled for discussion there?
No. Nothing last night.
Just a lot of approving. Permits. Right away permits.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. Everybody's wanting to build. Stuff, yeah. So
Great Plains Communications, a lot of underground fiber optic stuff.
Yeah, running fiber optic everywhere.
Yeah. All right, regular agenda, approve an agreement. Limited professional service between Miller and Associates. It's dealing with the Sports Flex Complex again.
Yeah, and so this actually kind of blends into what I was talking about as far as developing the infrastructure. So the Sports Complex is one component of the project, and Mammoth is serving as the design team for that. Miller and Associates is going to serve as the design team and the construction oversight team for the water, sewer, street, and storm sewer project. And for us, one of the things that's really important with all the moving parts that we're dealing with, we really need to be able to simplify some of this and just have one set of eyes working with Mammoth and Mammoth's one set of eyes working with another firm And Miller and Associates actually came to me in February. We actually started developing the cost estimates for this project as part of the Municipal Infrastructure Aid Program grant that we filed in October of 2024. And at that time, we were working through estimates, and Craig had given me an estimate so that way we could submit a redevelopment plan as part of that grant application. So I had some numbers from him. Obviously, that was just initial preliminary, and those numbers only went from Q Street. So the projects that we were looking at doing was extending street and water from Q Street up to the ballpark, and then bringing sewer across east to west on what's going to be platted as West S Street, all the way to the highway with street and water that direction. But we didn't have street and water far that would extend it too far to the east, and we had nothing going to the north. So in February, Craig came to me and said, hey, we've been kind of working through the numbers and also trying to figure out how to maximize the value of the lot and make sure that you're able to go ahead and sell some of these commercial lots. And we think that it would be beneficial if we had a larger scope to the project, so that way you actually can maximize your value. And so he gave me a contract to consider. He also got us some cost estimates. Just because we're moving so fast, that's one of the problems, is sometimes one hand, you know, doesn't know what the other hand is doing or just can't keep up with the other hand. And so we were actually going to try to bring this contract to the council at a special meeting on the 24th of March, but I didn't have all the information yet. So we had to move that meeting from the 24th to a different date. But Chris Miller came down to our office on the 27th of March and kind of explained the numbers. The overall scope of the project with water, wastewater, stormwater, and street, it's between $4.7 and $5.2 million. They also went through the process of trying to show us how the industry standard supports, you know, the contract amount, which the overall contract amount was $361,000. But only, I think it was $208,000 of that was going to go to design. $12,000 was going to go to the topographic study, which has already been completed, and the remainder was going to go towards construction supervision. But after I went through and I looked at everything and got a better understanding for the materials that were going to be used, when they explained the depth on that sewer, I mean, a 30-foot deep sewer line, you just don't see that. But the other thing is we're going to upsize the water service out there to a 16-inch main, because we want to make sure. Chris had showed me what the water pressure would be at each level of water pipe. And so we looked at like 8-inch and 10-inch and 12-inch and 16-inch. And to have sufficient pressure, you know, in case there's a fire or emergency or whatever could potentially happen out there, 16-inch really is the direction that we should go. And so there are some things that we're doing right now to make sure that we don't have problems later on. So last night the contract was approved. Craig was there to kind of explain some things. I think David was there as well, too. And we just appreciate the fact that, you know, we've been Craig and I actually started looking at this ground back in 2016, you know, as far as a potential place for subdivision. Craig has been a part of this project ever since I came on as city manager. And having that kind of knowledge and institutional knowledge and support, it's been invaluable. He knows that land just as well as pretty much anybody, except for maybe John Walters. I think John might be the only one that knows it better. And maybe Brian Schaefer, too. I know he farmed that for a number of years. But it makes perfect sense. And the other thing that we wanted to make sure, Mammoth and Miller's, they've been working hand in hand as far as trying to make sure that everything blends seamlessly. They've got, Mammoth has a civil engineer on the sports complex side. Miller's has the ability to do it on the infrastructure side. And so they've been talking back and forth on a weekly basis, just making sure that they've got the right size drainage pipe coming out from the sports complex to the outlots. Or, you know, these are the kind of materials that we want to make sure that we're utilizing for this project, or you name it. I mean, those are the conversations that they're having. So it makes sense, and we appreciate everybody working with us on this project. It is a tricky project. There's a lot of moving parts, but at the end of the day, we've got the right people in place to help us, so that's good.
And we just, the update regarding the sports complex, we just kind of covered that a little bit there.
The only thing, so we got a $500,000 CCCFF grant. We really appreciate the DED. Honestly, I don't know if, so we got a $500,000 CCCF grant for the swimming pool 2 years ago. And we found out last week or 2 weeks ago that we got another $500,000 CCCFF grant. And that's the Civic Center Financing Fund, and that's supported by the turnback tax and all these things. But the thing that don't quote me on this, but I'm not sure I've seen another community get two sizable CCCFF construction grants in back-to-back years aside from the city of McCook. And I could be wrong on that. We were fortunate enough to host Casey Bellitz here a few weeks ago at the annual EDC meeting. And so we just drove Casey around. Charlie set it up so we could drive Casey around, show him all the different things that were going on. And we stopped over at the Walters property and kind of explained to him what was going on. And then when we had the governor here for the State of the State address, just prior to the State of the State address, I actually got in front of the governor with the preliminary plat and with some of the designs and stuff, just saying, hey, look at this. This is really cool. And I know that Casey had mentioned at the meeting, because he was the keynote speaker at the annual meeting, he had said the things that McCook is doing, you know, it is truly, it's going to set McCook apart. He said there are other towns that are doing some great things, but McCook is right there with everybody else. And then with the sports complex, that sets McCook apart from everyone else. And that made me excited, because it kind of validated everything that I've been trying to say. This is a huge project. It's not just a sports complex. It is a commercial opportunity. It is a residential opportunity. You're starting to talk about property tax increases, which hopefully will decrease the amount of property taxes that everybody has to pay as a whole. You're talking about sales tax receipts, which we could only imagine. Those kinds of things are the things that get me really excited, because it's going to make it a better place for the people that live in McCook right now to continue living in McCook. So we got that grant. We've been working on a number of other grants. We're working with the sports feasibility companies on getting a pro forma draft approved. And I've looked at it. We just need to go ahead and give them the green light. They're also working on the feasibility study. We've had multiple meetings with Mammoth. We're actually kind of trying to figure out how to price this thing to make sure we get the best bang for our buck. And Mammoth actually was on the phone yesterday just to kind of talk about, you know, what the design would look like. They shared some rendering so that way we could kind of see what this might look like if everything comes to fruition the way that we want it to. We're still working on trying to price in the soccer field, which at the end of the day, we're going to get there, because that's important. The one thing about this, and I'm going to reiterate it, the turf aspect of this project makes this completely unique. I can't think of another facility in western Nebraska that has turf like we're proposing. And that's what creates, you know, a little bit of an additional cost to it. But long term, the maintenance and operations are going to be reduced on a yearly basis, because it's going to be easier to take care of. And so there's a lot of stuff that we talked about. I can't even remember now. But we appreciated Mammoth being there on the phone. And they're going to be here in person next council meeting to talk a little bit more about contracts and whatnot. So.
Yeah, a couple thoughts before I forget about it, because my memory's not very long. I was at that annual EDC meeting, and Casey's a really interesting man. He just exudes optimism when he walks in the room. You know he's in the room. And he was very complimentary on the vibrancy of McCook. He said, of course, he travels all over the state. He said he was so impressed with how people of McCook believe in McCook, with the taxpayer initiative, with the swimming pool, and now this project, and all the financial support the YMCA has received to do that. He said, you don't see this many projects in this short time span. He says, this shows me that people of McCook believe in McCook. He said, it just gets you excited. He said, I can't be complimentary enough of that. And when Mammoth was given the presentation about what they're proposing, when people see the design at some point, it's going to blow their socks off. But I really could feel in the air how excited Mammoth is for this project. They believe in McCook very much so, and they work so well with Miller and Associates and Nate and his team. It's amazing, and all the life experiences I've had in 64 years and 11 months, I've never seen this large of a project with everybody working so well together. But the whole focus has been on the success of this project. How do we maximize our water, sewer, our streets? How do we maximize the use of this sports project? It gives you goosebumps. I'm not a goosebumps type of guy, but you can't help but get excited about the potential of what this is going to do. And going back to the whole idea that McCook is really investing in itself, and people are seeing that at the state level. They are seeing that.
And locally, too. I've had a lot of people locally say, I can't remember the last time I saw this kind of activity going on in McCook.
And we saw that Kearney just opened up their sports complex this last weekend. Yep. And we were trying to remember. I don't know of any other community west of Kearney that's doing what we're doing. We're down here in almost forgotten southwest Nebraska at times, but we're not going to let them forget about us. They're going to know we're here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty cool.
I've lost my place on the agenda here. Where are we at?
Next was the discussion for additional revenue options for the city of McCook. Okay. And basically what we did, Leanne went through just comparing cell phone occupation taxes. So we've got occupation taxes on our landlines. We don't have anything on our cell phones. And that was a decision that was probably made around 2008 or 2009. It's been a while since we've visited this particular conversation. But most towns have looked at or installed an occupation tax on cell phones because people don't use landlines anymore. Or if they do, it's going to be a secondary form of communication. And so we were just talking about what the standard rates are. And there was some legislation this past year, LB 1023, which limited the amount of occupation tax you could put towards cell phones. And I think it limited it to 4%. So there were some communities that were at 5%. They are going to have to go ahead and move it down to 4%. But Beatrice, Alliance, Columbus, Fremont, Holdridge, North Platte, Sydney, York, those are some of the communities that have a cell phone occupation tax between 3% and 5%. And so as things get a little tight, and we know what's happening in Lincoln right now as far as the budget goes and struggling trying to figure out how to make sure that they've got it balanced, because constitutionally they have to do so, the legislators are mulling over options, and I know that there are some things on the potential docket that would impact us, and if that's the case, we need to make sure that we're at least having discussions to assure that we're able to continue to provide the services that people expect. So this is more just kind of an informational thing. I wanted to make sure the council and the public had an opportunity to see what other communities are doing. We included some of the ordinance that they passed to implement the occupation tax on cell phones, but it was just a discussion item. And at this point in time, we're just going to continue to kind of watch and see what's going on in Lincoln. And if we don't have to go ahead and implement something right now, you know, council may decide not to do that. If we, you know, if it looks like we may need to do something like that, the council would have to make a decision. But it's always kind of a struggle just trying to figure out revenue. And so we just want to make sure that we provide all the information we possibly can to the council.
And you never know what the legislature is going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I kiddingly tell my wife every time I walk out the door to go to a council meeting, what the first thing in the front of my brain is, first, do no harm. You know, don't say anything stupid, Jerry. Don't vote on anything stupid. You know, just what's best for the people. And I want to make a sign and put that at the top of the door of the legislature, that when they go in, they don't seem to me to be thinking about the people. There's too many special interests. And as Nate said, you just got to wait and see what they do and then react accordingly. They're just all over the map.
Well, it's a struggle for them because they are state legislators. And they have a lot of different interests that they have to make sure they take into consideration. But they aren't municipality experts. Mm-hmm. They aren't school experts. They aren't county experts. And so when they're making decisions regarding finances for all the political subdivisions, sometimes they don't understand what the ramifications are. And so we have to be the ones that kind of figure out how do we bridge that gap if there's a change that's made that's going to impact us. So anyway, we just try to stay ahead of the curve and want to have these discussions so that way it's not a surprise if we have to go down that road.
creation of a donation policy, did that go a little bit with the revenue?
No, it's a little bit different. Yeah. With our sports complex, obviously there's been a lot of discussions about donations and whatnot. And we actually, in retrospect, I wish we would have had a donation policy in place at that time. I think it probably would have made things a little bit clearer and given us as a city the ability to say, this is our policy. You have to make sure that you follow our policy. That's just the way it has to be. And in retrospect, I wish we would have had this in place. Other communities have it. We pulled the policies from Kearney and Hastings. I really like the Hastings policy. I think that's probably the better of the two. Nate Mustin is going to go through, take a look at that. Ultimately, we need to make sure we have this implemented to protect the city of McCook. We have just a different set of rules that we have to follow. People say run your government like a business, which to some extent I can understand that, but then also businesses don't have the same kind of rules and laws that we have to follow. And so that makes it kind of difficult at times. And I think it's hard for people to understand what those rules and limitations are for cities. And I think that ties into sometimes people want to do some great things, but they want to have control over things. And they really can't have those controls over city projects just because cities have to have a different set of standards and rules just based upon what the legislature has set for us. And so we need to have something set so that way we all understand, both the donor and the city, what each other's obligations are. I think that, this is a good thing for the city of McCook. It protects the city of McCook. And like I said, if this would have been in place 3 or 4 years ago, probably would have eased some of the tension that we've had over the past 3 to 4 years. So it's a good thing for us, I think, to have this policy put into place.
Any chance we could roll through these ordinances, which fast here?
the ordinances are, pretty basic ordinances.
Really basic, just finalizing a lot of them. Third and final vote. And
especially with the swimming pool for the summertime.
Yep, right? We got the rates set, I think. It was either the second or third reading. Our purchase policy, we're looking at moving that from $30,000 to $50,000, and that's going to basically be for equipment. I'm trying to think of what else we would have had in there for, there is a final one, I think, that was new.
That one on the animals?
Restitution. So that way, if there's a naughty dog that bites somebody, we can get restitution because it doesn't say that in our ordinance right now. And so we passed that under suspension of the rules.
All right. Getting ready for the pool summer.
For the pool. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Next week it's going to be open. It seems like.
Yeah. I was just emailing Mitch and Sasha and Kyle. I know we need to get together so that way we can kind of coordinate things for their programming this year. So, looking forward to that, and looking forward to another fun year of opening up that swimming pool.
Yeah, a full year. We're going to blink, and Memorial Day is going to be here.
Holy cow! I saw the list of the cracked ceiling projects that starts tomorrow around the McCook area, and boy, a lot. Of streets. Holy smokes, the list is that might be an all-time longest list of streets.
I think it is. There's a lot
of streets.
Yeah, but that's tax dollars at work.
Yep. Kyle and Greg have been busy identifying the ones that need the most help. So
anything on council comments last night?
Gene Whedon reminded everybody that we're in the gas choice program, and he is encouraging everybody, please, to consider the ACE program, because ACE gives money back to the communities that participate in this cooperative. And we've received several thousand dollars.
We got 22 this year, I think?
Yes.
22,000.
It goes right back into the community. The one I remember all the time is the band shell. Mm-hmm. We used all that ACE money 1 year to refurbish the band shell so it would stay standing. But give it a good hard look. This is the choice period, and please consider ACE.
Yeah,
I think that was about it for council comments.
Special meeting next Monday, right?
Planning Commission. Yeah, regular Planning Commission meeting. So, and we appreciated the Planning Commission and the council doing special meetings between the last meeting we had and today or yesterday. So, it's been wild. Lots of stuff.
And next regular meeting coming up the 21st.
Correct.